Praise the Lord. God is good, and it is a blessing to worship. I've been blessed to be here this morning. The singing, the Sunday school hour, children's meeting. I trust you are as well. And I want to continue to draw all our attention upward to God. This past week, Thursday, Andrew was so kind to lend us his big van, and me and my family and Drew's family navigated to New York City. I was able to blow my horn twice. It was a kind blow. And traffic was good, up and back. We did see some backup traffic going up. We saw it coming south, and coming back down, we saw backup traffic going north. So God was with us. We went up to see Philip, Indiana, so I got to experience some Turkish things. They live there in the Turkish community, so one of our goals was to experience some Turkish tea. So we drank some Turkish tea. It's high in caffeine, I found out. We had some Turkish coffee that also has quite a bit of caffeine. They make it strong. So another thing I experienced, I ate baklava, which is a little Danish, I guess I could call it, a dessert type thing. We experienced Shepherd's Cup, and we did a lot of walking around the city. Made it out to the beach one evening and watched the sunset. And we got to experience what Philip, Indiana do for a little bit, see their community where they are. New York City, I'm not sure how many of you have been there, but it's huge. And there's lots of people. People everywhere. My sister lives in the city there, and in my mind, you know, it's New York City, so I made a connection with her. You know, she's not that far, just a couple miles north of where Philip, Indiana were. Told her the restaurant we're going out to the one evening, and took her 50 minutes to scooter there. A lot of people. As we were walking the streets, I guess I'm accustomed to at least acknowledging the people I pass by. And so I kind of nod at them at least. Some people I would venture is to say hi. I'm not sure I got one nod back or one hello or hi back. Everybody was on their device or eyes to the ground. And maybe that's how you got places. If you stopped and said hi to everybody, it would take you a while. I experienced some sad people, grumpy people, not saying hi. As I witnessed the place where they were living in and talking with Philip, many of them are stuck in the city, and some in undesirable situations. It's expensive living conditions. So why? And I guess I came away from the trip burdened. Is that what God intended for people to live? Grumpy. They don't know Jesus. And so I asked the question this week, what does God want to fill the earth with? If you were to answer that, what would you say? He wants to fill the earth with his glory. Numbers 14:21 says this, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." That was in response to when the Israelites were complaining and God wanted to destroy them. And Moses steps in and intervenes and says, "Whoa, God, don't destroy your people." And God says, "All right, I'm going to give them a second chance, but as long as I live, I am here, I'm always going to be. And because I'm here and always going to be, I want my glory to fill the earth. That's my heart's desire." So I pose the question this morning, what is the glory of the Lord? What is the glory of the Lord? It is people who love God and love others. That's what God wants to fill the earth with. And so this morning, I want us to know that God wants to fill the earth. And that's the title of my message this morning, Fill the Earth. So we look to the fields. I want our response to be,
to look out, to look up, to look beyond ourselves, to love our neighbor and invite others to join. Fill the earth. I want us to know that God wants to fill the earth. Before we jump in, let's sing that verse of Come Gracious Spirit. Come gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou art guardian, thou art guide, o'er every thought and step preside. O'er every thought and step preside. So this morning, as I want to look at what God wants to fill the earth with, what is God's purpose? What was it for the Israelites? We're talking about Moses. I'm thoroughly enjoying looking at Moses' life. And as Moses is in the desert, he's called back to go back. That's where we are in the story. God comes to him, and Moses is having a conversation with God. God is trying to tell him that I will be with you. He's going to go back to the Israelites, and he's going to take the Israelites out of Egypt because he doesn't want them to be in slavery. He wants to take them to a new land, the land of Canaan. He's trying to convey that to Moses. His purpose was for the Israelites, was to set them apart. He had chosen them. And we're going to look at three prophets this morning, Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, real briefly, to understand what God wants to fill the earth with. And so I preface it by saying that God's glory is people who love God. If you remember back, I looked at a mirror. I broke a glass up here, and I put some broken pieces together. We're all mirrors of God. We are made in the image of God, so therefore we are an imitation of who God is. That means people who love God are filled with his glory, and that's what God wants to fill the earth with. Isaiah 43, anybody know what Isaiah 43 verse 1 says in your own words? I have redeemed thee. I have called thee. Thou art mine. It's my life verse, so that's not fair, because I know it. Isaiah 43, verse 1, is a verse that's often referenced. I've redeemed thee. I've called you, and I've chosen you. You're mine. And that's often used in the context of understanding that we are his. God cares about us. He chooses us. And that is what Isaiah is saying to the Israelites. I've called you out. I've chosen you. You're mine. God's glory is there. Anybody know what Jeremiah 29:11 says? For I know the plans. Everybody's scared to say it. For I know the plans I have for you. I'm going to bring you to an expected end. So Jeremiah is saying to the Israelites, when they were away in captivity, he says, I got a plan for you in the captivity. I care about you. I know the plans I have for you. I'm going to bring you to a place. God cared about his people, the Israelites. They were his. They were his chosen ones. Are you his chosen one? As a Christian, are you God's? Yes, you should be shaking your head. You should be smiling. Yes, you are. That is what the prophets were telling the Israelites here. That is God's glory. We're his. So we're not going to spend a lot of time there. That's simply put, people who love God are images of God's glory. So in Numbers 14:21, it says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So if the glory of the Lord, I'm defining this morning as people who love God, it's going to fill the whole earth. God wants to fill the earth. Turn with me now We're going to look briefly at three verses from the three different prophets, I'm going to call them. Deuteronomy 4 is the first one I want to look at. Deuteronomy 4. And the Israelites was God's chosen people. And as we look back, God, as I think of myself today as a Christian, I'm part of God's family. I'm his chosen one. So I can relate, we can relate to this as the Israelites being God's chosen people. And here in the context of Deuteronomy 4, Moses just found out that, you know, he's not going to go into the land of Canaan. So he has a list of rules, laws, God's commandments that he gives to the children of Israel. And here in chapter 4, he is urging Israel to obey them. Obey the laws, obey the commandments that I have put out before you. Because this, he goes down through cleave, verse 4, cleave unto the Lord thy God. I've taught you all these statutes. Hear them. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and shall say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. How many of you want to be counted as wise? I do. And Moses is coming to the Israelites. He says, obey these laws that God has given us. Because it's not only for you, but it's for the nations around. As the nations observe the Israelites walking the way God intended them to walk, they're going to look on and say, wow. So Moses is telling the children of Israel that obedience is not solely for the individual, but also for those looking on. He gives them a sense of purpose beyond themselves. Obeying God was not solely so they can continue to be God's chosen people. It was to invite the nations around to say, wow. Something's different. And so as Moses is giving his challenge to the Israelites, he says, follow. Follow the laws that I have given you so that the nations around can say, wow. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. And you will notice we're going to the chapter of where I called out before. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. Now, Isaiah was a prophet around the time of the division of the north and the south, southern kingdoms of Israel. It was right before the northern kingdom was taken into captivity. And these prophets are coming along and they're warning the children of Israel of the path they were headed. And so Isaiah is telling again the children of Israel, years later, after Moses, and he's going through this chapter here, and he says, I've chosen you, I've called you by name, I'm going to be with you. And jump down to verse 8, it says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf ears, let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Back up to chapter 42 and verse 7. Again, Isaiah is telling the children of Israel, they're supposed to listen to what God wants. He cares about them so that, verse 7, they can open the blind eyes. They can bring out the prisoners out of prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah is again reminding the children of Israel that they're supposed to stop worrying about themselves. Look at the nations around. When the children of Israel obey God, people, the nations around say, wow. Isaiah is saying, God cares about you. but it's not for you. It's so the people around may see what God has done. You are my witnesses. I want to use you to open the blind eyes. I want to use you to bring out the prisoners of prison and them that sit in darkness. You see, the prophets are reminding this chosen people that God cares, but it is not about themselves, only about themselves. It's part of it. It's part about their people following after what God wants them to do. But the bigger picture is the message they portray to the nations around. Turn with me to one more in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. And again, you will notice we're going to the same chapter where verse 11 is. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Here, the context for this chapter is Jeremiah is writing a letter. This is right around the time of the southern kingdom of Israel being taken into captivity. And he's writing them a letter. And if you read down through, he says, hey, move to Babylon. Go to Babylon and build houses there. Take care of your family. And here's the verse I want to look at in verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Jeremiah is again reminding the Israelites that God cares about them even in captivity. And they're supposed to go to captivity, and they're still supposed to honor God. And he says, when you get there, pray for the peace of the city. In other words, the city where you live, don't live there with contempt and pray for their destruction. Pray that they actually prosper. Because if the city prospers, you prosper. Isaiah is reminding them, it's not only about yourself. It's about the nations around. And when you go, even in captivity, obey God. That will be a witness to the nations around. So here we see Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all telling Israel to think about the nations around. Let the earth be full of God's glory. People who obey God. And they actually don't speak haphazardly, because if we look at their life, they actually did it themselves first. Moses, last week, when he killed the Egyptian, he headed out into the desert. He sat by a well. And who came along? Jethro's daughters. And the other people chased him away. If Moses would have cared only about his people, he would have sat there and laughed. But he couldn't stand that injustice. So he stepped up and he helped those daughters, which resulted in him getting a wife. Moses cared not only about himself and his own people, but he cared about other people around. That's what he's telling the Israelites. Think about the people around you. The world is bigger than just you. Jeremiah is actually a prophet to the nations. He's not only called a prophet to the Israelites, he's called a prophet to the nations. So he didn't come and go through the misery and that he did for just the Israelites. He did it for the nations. Isaiah showed more concern for Israel's enemies than just for Israel. So we see three prophets who modeled what it is like to look beyond their own people, to look beyond themselves and care about the people around. They wanted the whole earth, they wanted all the nations to know of the goodness of God. So if God's goal is for the earth to be filled with people who love God, with his glory, what does that mean for us today? How do we be a light to the nations around? There was an 11-year-old boy who was living the dream life. He grew up in a family who took care of him, cared for him well. This 11-year-old boy was trying to get acclimated to life in a new country. He had spent some of his years living in another country, serving as missionaries. As his family moved back, settled into church life, were investing in the community around, he thought he was a pretty good guy. As this 11-year-old boy grew, he heard of the concept of becoming a Christian, but he went to church. He lived in a good family. He kept pushing it off. And it's interesting, at around the age of 11 and 12, he started feeling these promptings. You know, you hear that term, oh, God is going to call you. He felt that. It was real to him. But he kept pushing it off. There was a Good Friday message service that they went to and talked about Jesus and what he did on the cross. And at that moment, he realized that he needs to make a personal decision. It's not anybody else's. He went home that evening, said something to his dad. I want to become a Christian. His dad put the rest of the family to bed, called his mom, and they sat down and he gave his heart to the Lord. I'll never forget the feeling of joy, of relief, when I said yes to God. I remember pulling out my Bible the next couple weeks, trying to have personal devotions, trying to read. I was excited. Life went on. My middle school years weren't the greatest. I didn't stand up for what was right. At the end of my high school years, things took a turn. I rededicated my life to God. Some things changed at school, and life was headed in a better direction. As I look back at my life, I stand amazed at what God has done. He's still working on me. As you know, I got some sharp edges. But God has done a work in me, and I'm His. And now, my broken edges, my mirror, my reflection of God, as I came into the church, and as I look across faces, you guys smooth out my edges. You see, the beauty of a church, as I start working with you guys, I see God's beautiful image, His glory, being revealed in a better way than my life could be by myself. You see, each one of us, if we're Christians, have a story of what God is doing. And as we look back, it's important to look back and say, wow, God has brought me here. And as we observe that, we partner with the body of believers and we make the beautiful image of God. All the broken pieces, the broken images come together to create a whole beautiful image. And it's in the beauty of church where we show that image. And I think through church is where God's purpose is being fulfilled. The earth is filled with people who love God. So the question I pose this morning as we think about the earth being filled with God's glory, what is your part? It was evident in the disciples' life. Study the Jesus walking with the disciples and what he told them to do. It ended in the Great Commission where he said, don't just sit here, go out and tell people what I have told you, what I have shown you. So two questions I want you to ask yourself this morning that I'm asking myself. Am I looking to the fields? Am I looking to the harvest? And number two, am I looking beyond myself? They kind of go together. Because I was inspired this week to do my part in filling the earth with his glory. And it starts personally. It starts with your personal testimony. Each one of us has a beautiful personal testimony of what God has done. Go there often. Look back at what God has done for you. It goes back to being a servant. Do you exemplify the life of a servant? So it starts personally. And then secondly, I don't think the whole image of God is complete until we are in the body of believers. That's why I think church membership is so important. You partner with other believers who polish you. And then, so we're part of the church. Is that complete? You see, the church picnic on Friday, that was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But that's just the stepping stone. There is a world beyond us. Are we filling the earth with God's glory? That's why I had to think of some ways that we're involved in. And I just want to inspire us this morning as I sat and thought about it. Roger and Becky, Philip, Indiana. In a way, we are partnering with them in their missions in Mexico and New York City. In some ways, sometimes I get, I don't know if jealous is a good word, but jealous of them in that they are focused on their areas of ministry. Roger and Becky, they are pouring their lives into the orphanage. I was up watching a Philip, Indiana. They are pouring their lives into the Turkish families. Sometimes I wish my life was that specific. But as we are a sending church, we are partnering with them in that. You are enabling Turkish families to be receiving the love of God. Their team leader, Brent, was biking down the street on Friday morning. I was sitting outside on the porch by myself. He pulled in and he said, "Zach, thank you for being a good sending church." And so I want to pass that on to you. By supporting Roger and Becky, Philip and Deanna, we are partnering with them in that mission. That is filling the earth. Let's not lose sight of that. That brings us purpose. VBS, this week is another way we are looking beyond ourselves. When the whole church is there, the mirror is complete. To think of God's image being portrayed in the Myerstown Park this week is awesome. Let's enter into this week with excitement. And actually, I want to bring that to life a little bit right now. And I want to spend a couple minutes in prayer. I would like this half of the church, group up in about four, and one person of the group say a word of prayer for specifically for the teachers and Eddie and Weston's as they lead out in VBS this week. This side of the group, I want you to pray for good weather and also for children to come out. So, circle up in groups of four. One person from the group, somebody lead out in prayer, spend a minute praying, and then I'll end in a prayer. So, go ahead, group up, turn around, somebody behind you, in front of you, and somebody lead out in a prayer in your small groups. Yes, Heavenly Father, you hear these prayers. And this week, we're embarking on VBS in the park. and I just commit it to you. And as the community of Myerstown sees us, may they get glimpses of you, beautiful images of your glory, and may it fill the town of Myerstown, we ask. Help us to partner together. It's a team effort. In Jesus' name, amen. So pray this week. I'm excited. It is a way we can fill the earth with the glory of God. Another way, going into the American House a couple times a week, and this afternoon my group's on, and I debated, man, do we do Bible school and American House? But do you know what? If nothing else, we are blessing Brother Dan. That's part of filling the earth with the glory. That's why we do it. Yes, it takes work and it takes time, but it's worth it. That's our part of being a team in filling the earth with the glory of God. I had to think how we supported Ilya and Olga and Val and Vika. Oh, God is smiling. Since Val's moved back, he was baptized at one of the churches, the church they go to there in Ephrata. I don't know. Did our support of them impact that? There's purpose in that, brothers and sisters. That is filling the earth with the glory of God. What other things do we do beyond ourselves? More than just meeting here. Christmas caroling, I guess, could be one of them. God's vision is that God's glory is filling the earth. And so I ask two questions this morning. First of all, personally, how much time do you spend yourself? How much time do you spend on yourself and your family versus others? It's a question I had to ask myself. If God wants me to fill the earth, he's given me so much. I am his witness. I'm his. What am I doing? No, you do not need to go to Mexico. You can do it right here. As I look back at this past week, how much time did I spend on myself or my family versus others? I want you to answer that question. And when we invite our families in endeavors like that, it can be wonderful family times. Secondly, where can the whole mirror be a reflection? So in other words, I reference the fact that we're all broken pieces coming together to make God's glory complete. My vision is that there's more men's meetings like the last. The last men's meeting, we discussed a little bit about the possibility of putting a float in the Myerstown parade of filling the earth with the glory. I think those discussions are what God wants us to have. Can we have more ideas like that? Not all of them will come to fruition. Some are a little crazy, but we can talk about it. Sometimes in a big group, we think somebody else will do it. That's not what God intended. It takes every one of us. What can the big mirror, how can the big mirror reflect the glory of God? So yes, you play an individual part. How are you about going about your week, your day, your life at work, at home? Secondly, do you have a vision for the big mirror here? What can we do to fill the earth with God's glory? Dear God, thank you for caring about us. Thank you that we are yours. And as Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah reminded the children of Israel again and again to obey God, not only for themselves, but for the nations around, I pray that we would take what we've been given and invest it to fill Myerstown, to fill the people around us with your glory. Help us to be intentional with that. Help us to start personally in our own lives. And secondly, the body here at Myerstown, give us ideas of ways we can be involved. May we get tired of spending our time spreading your glory to fill the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Nate, could I have a song, please?
The Christian hymnal 477.